Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
Did Kristen disrespect her marriage the other night?
That's the question. All right, listen, this doesn't even come from a DM. This is just coming from inside my brain. This was my initial reaction upon seeing one of the photos the radio station posted. And at the end of our Girls Night Out event that we had, and it was an evening of frivolity and fun.
Raunchy.
And scandal.
Filthy. Raunchiness.
We will forever remember the image that is the slip and slide.
We have this event every year where it's just women. There are no D in the house, mm-hmm. except for the strippers.
You
know. Right.
There was a lot of D in the house, actually.
Unless you're a Hall of Famer like those guys on stage.
Yes, yes.
And it's just like a really big party for women to get together with their girlfriends, and it tends to get a little out of hand some years, as it did this year.
And every single year, yes. And so, you know, we have DJ Yvonne did a great job, and we're all dancing and having fun. And then the male strippers, let's go ahead and give them a shout out because I feel like it's deserved. Hunkamania did a lovely job entertaining the ladies.
I really didn't know a dude's butt could look like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's intimidating. I did do glutes yesterday, by the way. I'm not kidding. I'm motivated. I'm going, yes.
So the staff, we're off to the side of the stage. So it's myself, it's Abby, it's Cassie. Katie was over there. We also have Dallas and Brenda and Jade, and we're all just taking in the show from side stage. And primo spot, by the way. Afterwards, we come back out, we thank the crowd for coming, and we're going to get a group photo with the strippers, of course. Why not?
Right.
And so we take the photo. Now, mind you, this is at the end of the night. It's now 1:00 in the morning. We've been drinking, and I normally have a rule when it comes to hosting events. I allow myself one cocktail, right? One cocktail to ease the nerves. And like, you know, when the event I hosted on Friday night to raise awareness for childhood cancer research.
Uh-huh.
And it was a fashion show for rally kids who are, you know, either beating cancer or battling cancer. And I allow myself one glass of wine throughout the evening just, you know, for those nerves.
Yeah, I think at Bitterball, we were counting the amount of drinks you had. And it was just one, right?
Yeah,
stuck
just
to
one.
That rule yep. on that
one
party.
One handle. Yeah. But at Girls Night Out, it's a little bit different vibe. And it was hot in the venue, wasn't it? It was a little on the warmer side.
I was sweating for many reasons that night.
Exactly. And so I kept topping off my drink in the green room, not really realizing how much I had because my drink was getting tepid, so I wanted to cool it down, so I kept just topping it off.
Woman has to stay hydrated.
Yeah, for sure.
Before you know it, the bottle of rosé is gone. Oh. I don't know if it was all me, but whatever, it was gone. So I was feeling good by the end of the night, and we take this picture, don't think anything of it. Next day, going about my business. It wasn't until the station posted the photo of us all sitting on the strippers' laps. And my initial reaction, and this was just like my own personal gut reaction. If I was Bart, I would have been pissed.
If you were your husband, Bart, you would have been mad?
Yeah.
If the roles were reversed.
Yes.
And he's sitting on a stripper's lap.
Yes, exactly.
All smiles.
Uh-huh, and it's getting posted, you know, on the internet. And I'm like, did I disrespect my man and my marriage by doing that? Because Cassie did the classy thing and she just stood behind the strippers. And I got to know, were you thinking that when we took the picture?
No, I wasn't. I was actually thinking I was too heavy to sit on a stripper's lap.
Cassandra, you were not.
Also, my dress was very short because nothing fit, and this was like 10-year-old dress, so I'm pretty sure I flashed a lot of people that night. So I was not going to sit, and I didn't want to have that whole awkward thing where I felt like I had to hover, so I was like, I'm just going to stand behind.
That hurts my heart.
I know.
It doesn't hurt mine. It's just a thing you think about.
Huh. Well, I wasn't thinking anything at that point in the evening. And so I saw the photo. Now, mind you, my husband hasn't even said anything about this. And I'm not saying anybody who participated in the activities, I am not looking down on you at all whatsoever. I'm all about you be secure in your relationship. You have your own, I don't even want to call them rules, but whatever works for your relationship, more power to you. But I saw that picture and I felt some sort of way about myself about it.
So it's interesting because if you would have seen this the same picture with Bart, except obviously, I mean, role reversal.
Yes, exactly.
And a stripper on his lap.
Yeah.
And you saw it the next day, you would have had a conversation with Bart about it.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, because if he was sitting there and there was a woman like sitting on his lap or that, yeah, now that you put it, if he was sitting on a stripper's
That's
lap.
That's fun. That is fun.
I'd be like, what kind of show is this?
So, two things. One, you were hosting the event, so it was like a group photo. Do you know that somebody directed you to sit on the lap?
Yes. Yeah. No, I remember that.
That doesn't mean she had to do it.
I know, but it's not like she just cozied up to a stripper and was like, hey. And you know what? You were directed there. You were hosting the event. It was part of like the whole ambiance. It was a big group photo. There were a lot of people. Somebody would have had to either been down on the floor in front or on the lap. Like, there's just no way to fit everyone.
You're making excuses for your friend.
I'm not making excuses.
You are.
I'm just pointing out all the realities of the situation.
She is the best woman ever.
Kristen, when is your birthday?
Nope, Tommy, we are not. I don't want you involved in this conversation.
I just want to know when your birthday is. I'm trying to be thoughtful.
My birthday is June 24th.
Ooh, that's coming up quick. Okay, remember how Rebecca gave me that frame picture of myself, and she took all these things that I've said on the show, and there's a little button that you can press?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you a picture sitting on that stripper's lap, and then when you press the button, this is what you're going to hear.
Yeah.
I want you to put it in a place where Jimmy can reach it so he can press it.
Now you're bringing her son into it.
Oh, it's getting dirty.
That's dirty.
Mama, pony.
No, I don't think you disrespected Bart at all. And in knowing Bart, I'm sure he wouldn't have thought twice about it. This is something you got to wrestle with yourself and your God.
Yeah, yeah. You mean wrestle with myself and pleasure.
Yeah. I got this DM yesterday also, man. I was doing one of those Ask Me Anythings on Instagram.
Which I still don't understand why you do those.
They've been pretty pleasant the last couple of times.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm caring a lot less.
Okay.
I think that's the reason why. But yeah, somebody DM me and said, would you allow your fiance to go to girls' night out? Which is in the same vein here. And I'm like, allow? Question mark.
Allow.
It's a grown-ass woman, man. And it's the same for you. You're not going to do it. If she was sitting on a stripper's lap, it wouldn't bother me at all.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it was so odd, and I never really, because, you know, it's like it's for the job, blah, 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 whatever. But I saw that, and I was... It was an odd emotion and feeling for even me. And I know myself, and I know there was no ill intent or disrespect meant whatsoever. But I was thinking it from another person, like anybody looking at that photo, be like, oh, that hussy has disrespect. Yeah. That Jezebel, as I have been called before.
Let me get Josh on here because he thinks you're straight up sloot. Hey, Josh, good morning. You're on the Burr Show.
Be honest, Josh. Bring it.
Good morning, guys. No, I wouldn't say you're a sleuth, but I would be upset if it was my wife.
Really?
You know? And, yeah, because I mean, the girls not out thing is great, but the whole cozying up to the stripper thing, I couldn't handle that. And Cassie is like a wizard at trying to mansplain here. You know, she's talking her way out of a corner. She's a... I don't know, a magician with that.
You were not cozying up to a stripper. I had eyes on you all night. Now his hand was on your butt, though, and you sat on his lap. Is that why you felt weird about it?
I didn't realize that until I saw the picture.
Yeah, she's just relieved now that you just told her that it was his hand.
Yeah.
Your butt looked great in that dress. I had to stop myself from touching
it,
okay?
Thank you.
I would be more upset if my fiance had a drink at the bar with the dude than sitting on his lap for a picture.
Gotcha. All right.
Wow.
Wish that didn't happen.
But not for you.
No.
Really?
I'd much prefer it the other way around.
Is that right? Really? Just the physical part of it for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be that.
Any kind of skin on skin.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, no. No,
all
no, no.
All right, see, I got another woman. She agrees with me, believe it or not.
Here is Shayla. Good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hey.
Hey, so yeah, just I would have been like Kristen. I would have felt a little weird about it too. Just being married, I would have stood behind and not sat just for that physical contact being married. Even though it's no ill intent, I would have been weird about it as well.
Okay. It was just seeing it. I was like, yeah. Oh, KK.
I would say this, that while I would be okay with it, Tiffany would not.
No.
No.
If you were sitting on a stripper's lap?
Yeah, or let the stripper put me in her pocket. Or stir her drink with me. No, she wouldn't like any of it.
Stirring her drink with me.
At first.
She wouldn't be good with any of it. All right, so let's get Lily back on here. Lily called us about 15 minutes ago. Abby, what was Lily calling about?
Lily was calling about her daughter having this loose tooth, and she wants to be the one there when it comes out. She doesn't want anybody else to have this experience other than her. We can't have the her partner see
ex-husband
getting the first memories of this loose tooth. She wants to be the one to experience it.
So she was asking us a couple of minutes ago, like, what do I do to get this thing out of her mouth? Because I want this experience and I don't want my ex-husband to have it. And Tommy gave her a real simple one. You know what? If it's that loose, just bite into an apple. The thing will come out. So a bunch of people started calling up with these unorthodox ways to get a tooth out. And then I did a Google search on it. Okay. Somebody used a bow and arrow.
Oh.
They attached the tooth to a bow and arrow.
How Hunger Games of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Another one, I think somebody called up with this one also, is peeling out in his Camaro that was attached to the tooth. Okay.
That was my idea at the end of the segment, which you said that was one idea too many.
A decathlete in the 2008 Summer Games used his javelin expertise on his daughter's tooth.
That's fire.
That is fire.
Mm-hmm. And it's good branding on YouTube. A remote control truck.
Oh, I love that.
Yep. A drone.
All right. That's a good one.
And a hockey player that attached it to the end of a hockey stick.
Hockey players know about losing teeth.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
All right, Lily, did you do it?
You guys, I did it.
Yeah. All right. Hey. Is your daughter's not scarred, is she?
No, okay. We did not do the baseball bat method. I did not think she would enjoy that. And I didn't have any Laffy Taffy because I did like the idea of that. We tried the apple because I had an apple, and that didn't work. This is going to sound boring after all of the Google results that you just read out, but I used a paper towel and got it like a little bit damp so I could really hold on to it and just wiggled it back and forth, and it came out.
There you go.
All right.
Congratulations on having that experience with your daughter and screwing your ex out of it.
That's the important part, right?
Thanks for calling, Lily.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
So Kim and Khloe Kardashian are working to help foster a new group of criminal justice reform leaders. And guess who they decided to round up? A bunch of TikTokers. So Kim K has been working to get her law degree and has also been helping inmates who were given too harsh of a prison sentence and seeking clemency. So on Monday, the Kardashian sisters teamed up with Reform Alliance's Future Shapers Advisory Council to speak with incarcerated individuals and learn more about their experiences. If anything, this is one hell of a reason to keep TikTok around, because members from the council include major TikTok stars like Jack Wright and Dixie D'Amelio, who were present during the visit. Kim's like, the best way for you to be an advocate is to learn more about the system. So we can expect to see more of them hanging around the Kardashians, learning about how they can be a bigger help in all this.
Good for them.
Yeah, sometimes they make it hard to like not like them.
I know, they're really doing their best.
No, they're doing a good thing.
Yep.
And at least they're using their influence for good. I mean, Dixie D'Amelio is a huge star. I think she has like 100 kajillion billion followers on TikTok. So if someone like her is getting involved, some good's going to come out of it. Okay, Kristen, I know you're going to be upset about this Kardashian news. It looks like Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet are a confirmed item.
Confirmed?
It's no longer a rumor. It's not something I saw on Dumois. Outlets like Entertainment Tonight, People, and ET, or what's the other one? ET?
Entertainment Tonight?
Yeah, all of them. Extra. Yeah. They're all saying that they're a confirmed item, but you're not going to find them at Coachella. I know this is where everybody's getting back with their ex this week. Kylie decided that she didn't want to make things public with Timothy this past weekend at Coachella. She just wanted it to be chill and have fun with her friends.
Yeah, I saw that they were like spotted in her car, like having like a little car picnic or something like that.
A car picnic?
I don't know.
Going through the drive-thru and getting some Mickey D's?
I don't know. I don't remember. I think it might have been tacos. I could be wrong. I just don't know why this irks me. I just do not like this combo.
They are kind of an odd pairing. Like he looks like...
I'm not opposed to odd pairings.
Yeah.
I just like... I don't know what it is about this particular couple. I just...
Go ahead.
I hope you've enjoyed Timothy's career to this point because it is now over.
He's, don't do that, Mo.
He's, it, you know what? He might be so immensely talented that she can't even mess this up.
He's the one,
that
huh?
good.
Somebody has to break the curse. You think this is the guy?
This is the dude.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, I think that he's going to be one of these dudes, and I know nothing about this guy. I just feel like dabbling in this thing for him will be physically very... enjoyable, but I do think that at some point the superficiality of running in this circle, I just feel he's too highbrow for this.
Yeah, sources are saying that this is just a casual relationship, which in my mind, I feel like maybe he's doing research for another project that he's working on.
Ah.
What if this is really all a ploy for him to really get into some kind of character he needs to? So it's just like background research.
I'm going to run with that. Thank you very much.
You think he called her and he just said, look, I want to use you for research.
Yeah. Isn't that what the Kardashians do for most things?
Yeah.
And Chris was like, this will be great fodder for tabloids.
Let's
do it.
It's a win-win situation for all. Okay, apparently Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn made a major purchase together shortly before their breakup. So the Daily Mail reported yesterday that they purchased an $8-ish million home in London, which if you love celeb houses and like those Architectural Digest videos, you need to Google it. It's beautiful. Has like a secret garden, marble floors. I really want to move in. Honestly, Joe just should have stuck around for the house, if anything. But allegedly, this purchase took place in the fall around the release of her latest album, Midnights. So it's only about 4 months before the split was reported that it happened. So apparently, they broke up in like January, February. So it makes you wonder, like, how do you go from buying an $8 million mansion together to just never wanting to speak to the person again?
Yeah, I guess you would think for $8 million, the house would be big enough that if you don't want to see each other, you don't have to. But yeah, that's a tough transition right there.
Yeah, it's really cushy digs. I personally would like to rent a room there. So Taylor, if you're listening, it's beautiful.
Do they have a version of like Cribs now?
Yeah, they have Architectural Digest videos and also those Vogue 73 question ones where they go throughout the house and you get to see.
Yeah, you like those?
I love them because you get to see the weird art. It's like crazy things that celebs will spend money on. So they'll be like in their bathroom and they're like, this is an original Picasso that cost me $2 million and you just get to poop next to it.
Bert just wants to see where the magic happens.
I love celebrity homes, man.
Yeah, I
really do. I get fascinated by them.
I think Cribs was better because most of the time it wasn't actually the celebrity's home.
Right.
That's what made Cribs so special.
Like, I'm the guy that still drives through like the really, really rich, richy rich neighborhoods around here and just says, I wonder who owns
what
something.
What do you do?
Where do they get this money from? I feel the same way. Every day to work, I'm like, this is a gorgeous house. Okay, most people expected this show to only get one season, but one of the stars is saying, shockingly, we might get a second. I'll tell you all about it on the next Entertainment Buzz on The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Do extramarital affairs still count as real relationships? You got something going on in your life? You got questions? You want Bert Show fam to try to answer them for you? Hit us up at thebertshow.com. Mo has got the email.
Hey, Bert Show.
Hey.
I wasn't ready. Okay.
He just came out.
Hey, I know. I'm ready now. I have one question for you, but it's a pretty loaded question. Do extramarital affairs count as real relationships? I can't stop thinking about the conversation from my last date. I met this guy on Bumble, and we've been seeing each other for almost 2 months now. On our last date, we got on the topic of past relationships. It came up organically, and we were sharing the longest relationship we've ever had. I shared mine, 3 years right after college. Then he shared his, a year and a half, with a married woman. After the date, I couldn't stop thinking about his answer, and it got me wondering, do extramarital affairs really count as real relationships? I've always believed that relationships are based on honesty, trust, and respect for one another.
Oh, nonsense.
How can I trust a person to be honest with me? I'm not trying to be judgmental because I don't have all the details as to why she chose to cheat on her husband or what she told him about their marriage. How do you justify the dishonesty and betrayal that comes along with it? After he dropped that info bomb at dinner, I was pretty shell-shocked, so I didn't really have any follow-up questions. Do I bring this back up? Do I try to get more details or clarification? My heart says any relationship that involves deceit is not a true healthy one and cannot be considered as a real or legitimate relationship. Mm. Thanks in advance for your input, Bethany.
Wow. This feels like a question that is filled with a smoky room at about 2 in the morning with stuff that's only legal in some states.
Okay, that's your analogy. Mine is, this right here feels like a question where it's a piece of meat that you're chewing on and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger in your mouth as you're chewing it for some reason, and then you're just unable to swallow it.
That's a nightmare.
You ever had that kind of piece of meat? Like you just keep chewing it and chewing it, and for whatever reason it's not breaking down, and it just like it feels like it's getting bigger in your mouth?
I just feel like I need to send you to nicer restaurants.
What kind of steak is in there, man?
Something that's not totally processed. It's an interesting question. Is it considered, Abby, is an extramarital affair a real relationship?
I'm just concerned that after this date, after finding this out, she's more concerned about whether or not it's a real relationship. And she plans on bringing it back up on a second date. Like, this wasn't a deal breaker for you. I don't think it's not a relationship because there were some very real things that were happening, I'm sure. But I don't really know that you can count it as a relationship because it wasn't any kind of agreement between two people. Well, I mean, maybe they agreed on some stuff, but it's not like this was his girlfriend. It wasn't his wife. It sounds like maybe they were just hooking up for a year and a half.
Okay, I'm going to try to play defense attorney, although I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know the answer, but I want to argue the side that it is.
That it is a real relationship.
That it is a real relationship.
But how can it be a real relationship if there is, for me, like a relationship, there's some kind of future. But if you're dating somebody who's married, ooh.
Now, every relationship doesn't have a future.
Right. I mean, when you first start dating somebody, you don't know if there's a future, but you certainly are having a relationship with them.
But you're under the assumption there's a future. Look, no, you may not know that it's not, there's not, yeah, of course, hindsight's 20/20. If it ends, then yeah, there was no future. But if you're in a real relationship, you are under the assumption that there is a future between the two of you.
Well, can't you be in an extramarital affair and assume that they're going to leave their partner and that you are going to be in, there is a future between the two of you?
If that's the line she's feeding them, yeah.
Or even if it's cuffing season and the two of you agree that this is a relationship that's going to be temporary, it's still a relationship.
You're still, even if it's an extramarital affair, you're still going through relationship type different ones. But you're still working through relationship issues together.
What issues could you have if you can run home to your spouse afterwards? Then you're just an escape for somebody.
Well, the issues that you have would be different than the ones that you have in your marriage, okay? So when are you going to give me time? I'm sick of always being second to your wife. Now, I'm not saying they're legit, but I'm saying that, and I'm just arguing for debate's sake more than anything else, but I could see how it could be defined as a real relationship, yes.
It's not a healthy relationship, obviously, like she's saying, but it's a real relationship, I think, regardless of how you look at it.
I guess it's a casual, more casual relationship than, I guess, marriage, but a relationship should be built on, like, wanting to spend time together, and it doesn't really sound like this was anything serious. Like, if you're sharing your time with somebody else, if she's going home to somebody at the end of the day, then you're, like, her side piece.
Still a relationship.
Still a relationship. Like, look at the other side of it. If you are married to someone and then that person is cheating on you or having an affair, that doesn't take away from the fact that your marriage is still a relationship because they're sharing time with someone else, whether you know it or not.
Oh, there's so many different tangents here. So are we saying, like, side pieces are real relationships?
I believe so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, Michael will tell us. Hey, Michael, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I don't think extramarital affairs are real relationships at all. I mean, it doesn't matter how you look at it, you know, whether you're, how you view, like, what a marriage is, but it should be a 100%, 100%, not 50-50, you know, agreement. And so if you have somebody who's committed themselves to another person and they're off with their side piece, it's like, you know, how could that be a relationship if they're, if they've committed themselves to someone else, how could they possibly give what's required to just define, like, the basic, you know, expectations of a relationship?
So your relationship is based on a definition of commitment.
Yeah, I mean, if you're married to somebody, I would not want to date, even if this other person was 100% my type, I would not feel comfortable. Even if their spouse said, hey, I'm cool with my wife dating other men, I would not be okay with that, because I would think, well, she's going to go home to her husband and, you know, I mean, what if she had kids? There would be so much right? complications there.
Yeah, I remember dysfunctionally, my dad used to say that, God, and I really wish that he would have never shared this with me, that the relationship that he had with my mother was very different than the relationship that he had with his mistresses. They were about sex, and he could cut that off, and there was no emotional attachment to them, and he could go home and emotionally get what he needed from my mom.
He had that conversation with you.
That was the one that I told you about on my 21st birthday, where we're friends now.
Yeah.
We can be friends.
Yeah. Now that you know all that is side pieces, you can be buds.
Yeah.
Right. No, it didn't help the relationship.
No.
And it didn't help me in my own relationships. Hey, Ashley, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so is an extramarital affair a real relationship?
Well, I guess if you look at it in the terms of, like, poly relationships, you can be married and have outside relationships, and they're real relationships. People date. They have good times together. They have parties. You travel together. If other person has kids, you can have birthday parties. Like, it doesn't always have to be a negative thing to have outside relationships, especially when it's, you know, there's a whole community of poly relationships.
Now, we're not talking about poly relationships, though, because I think that's a completely different topic. Right. We're talking about, like,
so some people don't look at poly as a real thing, and they look at it as you having extramarital relationships. And I think it's all about how you think about it and how you look at it. And some people have the ownership complex, where they're like, you know, so they can't see past it being, you're his wife, you're her husband, so you're not allowed to do things outside of it. But again, there's a whole community of a poly triad, all different things, where that outlook is different.
Yeah. Tomorrow we're going to spend some time on poly rights.
Okay.
Jeremy, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning, y'all. Thanks for letting me on. How y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I just wanted to ask, I know with the email, was there even a mention of it being an affair on the side? All it said was that he was dating a married woman. How do we know that, you know, the husband doesn't have a girlfriend on the side and this is a prearranged thing between the husband and wife?
We don't. I think what we're doing is we're debating that if somebody is in a marriage and they have themselves a side piece that, in this case, I'll use the wife as an example, she doesn't know about it, is the extramarital affair, even though it's not legit with the spouse, obviously she doesn't know about it, is it still a real relationship?
I guess I have to agree with y'all then and say that's not a real relationship then.
Not a real relationship then.
Okay. So I guess if we're going to come up with a list of questions she needs for date number two, at the top of the list is, were you polyamorous? Did the husband have a girlfriend too?
It's a whole legal pad of new questions you need to ask. It's a Burt Show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve
Thrive ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's A-B-B-Y at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bird Show.
You know, we live in a world right now that statistics will show us about half of people that are getting up in the morning and going to work absolutely hate the place they have to go to. They don't like the boss. They don't like what they're doing for a living. They're going through the motions, and then you go home. We are super, super fortunate to have this job right here. Mm. Where, can you believe we get paid for this crap?
Nope. But I love it.
I know, right? And I feel super fortunate that I signed a contract yesterday for 3 more years.
Yay! Congratulations.
That allows us to continue to do the stuff that we've been doing for 3 years. We're all under contract. You're stuck with us for the next 3 years. Really am. I mean, there are days where I literally, we get off the air and I pinch myself. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe that we get paid to do this. This is the only industry I know, or few industries, where I said this to Kristen before, where the boss can walk through the door and go, you guys aren't screwing around enough.
Yep.
Like, usually it's like, you guys are screwing around too much. Get to work. For us, it's the other way around. We get to come in. I get to hang out with friends that really make me laugh, that I really, really like a lot. And we get to do this together for the next 3 years.
Congratulations, sir. Well deserved.
So don't mess it up for me.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Abby. I'm afraid, even though my intention, the giddiness that I got from even this suggestion was exactly what happened to you, I still do feel a little bit bad about it.
Yeah, and you should, because I was feeling super embarrassed on Friday. I had that big red splotch on my neck from your hickey challenge, and I know you wanted us to be embarrassed and to feel ashamed to walk around, and that's exactly how I felt walking into my gym on Friday, because I took a little selfie, because I was actually feeling good about myself on Friday until I realized I still had it on my neck. And then I look over in the corner, and looking like a tall glass of water, there was standing my gym crush. And I thought, well, damn it. Now this man is going to see me looking like a hussy.
All right, let me reset this here for those that didn't hear it a couple of days ago. This is one of these ideas that I thought would be really funny for me. And it was. So the idea actually came from a stand-up comedian that I was watching. And she made a joke like on a Tuesday night or something about a hickey. And my feelings about hickeys, they are legitimately the trashiest thing I ever see when I see an adult with a hickey. There is nothing trashier.
I can't remember the last time I saw an adult with a hickey. Oh, wait. It was earlier this week when everybody came in with one because Bert wanted that for his birthday.
So as my own personal birthday wish and giddiness, I asked everybody to come in here with a hickey. Then the following morning, the giddiness for me came not from the physical part of the hickey itself and you guys getting it, but the 3 or 4 days lined up after the hickey when you guys had to do events or be a girls' night out for a party and knowing that you were going to be self-conscious about this hickey on your neck for 3 days.
I'm glad that my insecurities are really fueling your good day.
Right.
So in that way, you telling me that I put you in an uncomfortable situation makes me feel very good about the segment.
Yeah,
exactly
yeah,
what you wanted.
You almost screwed up my chance at love, Bert. But I walked in and I immediately ran back to my car once I saw that man, because I'm like, oh, he's going to think I'm such a little sleaze. And I asked him, I was like, what do you think I should do about this? I have nothing to cover it up with, which of course was the number one thing people DM me with. They were like, cover it up. I'm like, what? I don't have a scarf in my car that I can wear to Orange Theory.
The theories used to be like if you put like a cold or a frozen spoon on it, it would dull the hickey pretty quickly.
Oh.
You didn't hear that?
No.
Okay.
You tell us that now, huh?
Yeah.
I think I told you it then.
Did you?
No, I don't think so.
You know what I meant to you. My bad. My memory.
It happens.
Somebody made a joke because I used my vacuum cleaner to give me a hickey, which, by the way, I do not endorse. Do not go home and do that.
It was really big.
They said, you should tell them that you're a product tester for Dyson. Someone said to just come out and say, oh, listen to the Bird Show segment. This will make sense.
Right.
Which I'm like, that's a great opening line. Like, hey, nice to meet you. Do you know I'm on a radio show?
Yeah.
Someone said to be a little spicy and say, hey, next time this could be from you. And the last person.
That would be the worst.
This could be us.
This could be us, but you play it. And then the last person just said, you know, just use it as a way to talk to him. I'm like, wow, that's a really great opening line.
No. There's no way to get around it. You would have to wait until that fades in order to have a conversation with a guy that you're crushing on.
So you'd ran to the, like, you went to the gym, you saw your gym crush, you immediately run out.
Mm-hmm. I'm panicking. I'm sweating in my car.
Now, give us, I want a visual of the gym crush. If he was a celebrity, which celebrity would he be?
What's like a really hot blonde celeb? Like Alex Pettyfer? Do you know who he is?
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Alex Pettyfer, but if he worked in sales. You know what I mean? Like,
what?
Just dial him back a little bit.
Okay.
Like, very handsome, but okay. Normal looking. You know what I mean? Like, a very normal Alex Pettyfer.
Okay.
So, I go... Yeah,
he's cute, but approachable.
He's cute,
That's
but approachable.
That's a good looking man, man.
Except when you have a massive red splotch on your neck.
No, honey. It's a hickey. When you have a massive hickey on your neck.
Yeah, there's really no excuse you can use either, lie, and that nobody is going to buy. Like, oh, I dropped the weight on my neck.
No.
I wish I would have known this. Because you had an allergic reaction.
That could have worked.
That could have worked, honestly.
Yes.
To what, though?
Wheatgrass.
Men.
Wheatgrass.
And it just got you on one side of the neck.
A new perfume, a new lotion.
There you go.
See, where were you in my DMs on Friday?
I wanted you to fail.
So I walk in, and the gym that I go to, you have to choose a specific spot to work out in. So he, of course, chooses the rower next to mine. And I'm thinking, on the hickey side?
On the hickey side.
On the hickey side.
No! Of course.
No, and I mean yes.
So I'm on the far right. He's to my left. And I'm thinking, I can't start with, hey, I have a hickey. You should listen to my radio show. Get the ratings up. And so I decide I'm going to say something, and I'm going to wait for him to notice. Like, I'm going to bait him, essentially. So my rower always breaks. It's like a running joke at the gym that I go to. So I lean over and I go, oh, is your rower working? Mm-hmm. Look at my neck. And so he goes, oh, yeah, mine's working fine. And then I kind of see his eyes go, ch-ch-ch-ch. And then back to me. So I can see he's clocked it. And then that's my chance to go in and be like, hey, would you believe me if I got in a fight? If I said I got in a fight, this is from me, you know, getting a little tussle over the weekend. And he goes, yeah, I've seen you lift like 8 pounds. I'm going to go with no. So then I just kind of like awkwardly go back to my rower. And so while it was a little uncomfortable at first, I will say, the energy shifted a little bit.
Come on.
And then we started like having some conversations during the workout, like casual things like, hey, can you pass me the dumbbell? Oh, will you grab me that mat? And so now I think I have the perfect opportunity to swoop in, come in with a clean neck, and maybe score true love out of this.
So it's laid the foundation.
It has, I think.
Yeah, because he's absolutely
maybe.
He's absolutely sure that you're a really good time. He's sure that you do crystal meth.
I can fight, too.
You're allergic to wheatgrass.
Where did you jump from hickey to crystal meth?
Is that what happens when you do crystal meth? You get a hickey.
Do only people who do crystal meth give each other hickeys?
It's been a long time. I don't know.
Everybody knows that, Kristen.
Oh, duh.
Yeah, it's the pipeline. Like... Meth to hickey.
Got it. That's your gateway drug to get to a hickey.
Crystal meth.
You're on The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Okay, if you haven't seen the show on Amazon Prime, Daisy Jones and the Six, you are seriously missing out. It's this amazing book-to-TV adaptation. It stars Elvis's granddaughter as a 70s rock star, so it is like the coolest. You feel like you're sort of watching a little piece of history, even though obviously it's totally fictional.
What's Riley Keough, right?
Yes, Riley Keough, Elvis's granddaughter, who's quite literally playing somebody who Elvis could have been friends with back in the day if it wasn't a fictional made-up story. So it's a really cool thing to watch, but Since it was a book to TV adaptation, everybody just assumed, oh, we're just going to get one season and then it's over. But it's been such a huge success that actually, in a recent interview, one of the stars, Suki Waterhouse, she said that we could actually get two different things out of this really successful first season. The first is they could do a tour because it's based off of a band. They could go around and actually do live performances.
Do they do their own singing in the show?
Yes, which is so cool because these aren't people that were trained as musicians before this. Sam Claflin, who was one of the stars, actually learned to play guitar for this role. So it would be like a really wild thing for them to now make a music career out of this show. And then the second thing is that they are actually considering doing a second season. There's no sequel to the book, so they're like, we just have to find a storyline first. But it's definitely something that shocked fans. They only expected one.
They're saying it's kind of like Dazed and Confused ran so this show could walk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like in that same similar vein, apparently.
Yeah. So if you like to watch TV, check out the show. If you like to read, check out the book. Okay. Blue Jays pitcher Anthony Bass and Jesse James Decker, they've got a bone to pick with United Airlines. So Jesse James Decker's sister is Anthony Bass's wife, and she was flying alone with her two children. She's 5 months pregnant, and somewhere on the flight, there was some popcorn spilled. And so a flight attendant came over and told her, once again, 5 months pregnant, to pick up the mess with a trash bag and a wet wipe.
Now, this was from her own two-year-old that spilled the popcorn, correct?
Yes, okay. This is correct.
So she's toting around a couple of kids and she's pregnant?
Yes.
Okay.
I know, really stressful situation I can imagine for moms to be sitting there, all of a sudden your kid spills popcorn, and then the flight attendant comes over and says, all right, handle it, mom. So some people are like, well, it's not the flight attendant's job to pick it up. And then some people are saying, well, who cares? Tell the flight attendant to help the pregnant woman on the flight handling her two kids.
Okay. Dude, the comments, I got sucked into this yesterday because after Anthony sent that tweet, because to me, it's how the tweet was worded and also how Jesse James Decker is very passionate and very vocal on social media, doesn't hold back, right? And she's a country singer and married to Eric Decker, who's a former NFLer. And they were talking about how she was humiliated and embarrassed and crying on the ground, picking up the popcorn, and the way that Anthony had worded his tweet, like this was such an injustice. So it reeked of entitlement. And the comments, I grabbed my popcorn just to like take in the comments. It was overwhelming. Every tabloid that posted about this, they were railing on this man and his wife and also Jesse James for thinking that they were above picking up popcorn off a plane floor.
The only voice I haven't heard from in this whole thing are flight attendants and those in the airline industry, and we got Delta right down the street. So if you guys want to get in on this, we can put you on the voice disguiser, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, but most of the comments were really nasty, like, right?
Well, not even, they weren't even like, yes, they were definitely, don't get me, I mean, hello. The story, of course, is you're going to get nasty on both ends, but for the most part, people are just like, if you're a parent and you're out with your kids, you're responsible for your kids and you're responsible for your children's mess. So if they make a mess somewhere, you're responsible for cleaning up 5 months pregnant or not. I think what they should have focused on was how rude the flight attendant allegedly was to her. So if they would have focused on that rather than the fact that she had to pick up popcorn from the floor with everything else that's going on in the world, it was just very tone deaf and fell on non-sympathetic ears.
I mean, I went out to eat with my kids this weekend and I was on my hands and knees with wet wipes cleaning up the floor, and we left a huge tip for the things I couldn't get because I know it's a pain, like as a server, as a flight attendant. Like, flight attendants are trained to save your life in case of an emergency crash landing. They shouldn't pick up your popcorn, which, PSA, kids aren't supposed to have popcorn until 4 anyway because it's a major choking hazard. So a 2-year-old probably shouldn't have been chowing down on popcorn anyway.
I thought you were saying 4 in the afternoon. I'm like, I wonder what the carb implications are.
They're like gremlins. They multiply. They eat it before 4. So they were trying to get clarification. He was not on the flight with them because everybody's like, why didn't you get on your hands and knees and pick it up? He was not there. And then according to Jesse's sister, United provided the popcorn to the kids.
So she can't talk because she's pregnant. She couldn't say, no, thank you. Some people try to offer my kids stuff sometimes, and I'll say, thank you so much. We're good.
I'm going to offer your kid a beer next time I see him.
That's fine. They need to sleep at night. Come on over.
Here is Jessica, who is a flight attendant. Hey, Jessica.
Hey.
All right, so you've got a woman here. She's got a couple of kids in hand here. She's got a two-year-old. I think she had another kid with her also.
A five-year-old, and she's 5 months pregnant.
And she got some popcorn that she spilled, and the flight attendant's like, you pick up after yourself.
Absolutely. I'm a flight attendant, and I worked until I was 5 or 6 months pregnant. And look, I have kids. Pick up after your kids. And I saw in one of the comments that she's high risk. If she was high risk, she should not have been flying by herself with both of her kids.
Facts.
Mm. I mean, just be responsible.
All right, thank you for calling.
I think they're getting on the defensive, her husband and her sister, because that tweet was not received the way I thought they thought it would be.
Right.
Because he said, the flight attendant at United just made my 22-week pregnant wife traveling with a 5-year-old and 2-year-old get on her hands and knees to pick up the popcorn mess by my youngest daughter. Are you kidding me? No.
No, actually.
No.
I'm not kidding you at all.
That's why it originally wasn't in my e-buzz, because I read the headline and I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're telling me this is on the front page of People?
Oh, it has ignited a fire amongst in all the mommy blogs that I follow.
I think I would have wrote, look, if you're a little bit better at your job, you'd be flying your own private plane.
Hey.
Here is Maria, also a flight attendant.
Hey, Bert. So I can't imagine any flight attendant making someone get down on their hands and knees to pick up anything. People constantly leave airplanes in complete disarray when they have kids. I'm imagining she's probably very emotional because she is pregnant and probably blew it out of proportion. But, you know, I'm also a mom, and I would have picked up my kids' mess as well. So I think it was just probably emotions were running high. But I can't imagine any flight attendant making someone get on their hands and knees. You've seen airplanes, I'm sure. It's disgusting when people get off.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate you calling. Thank you, Maria.
You're welcome.
Yeah, if my kids, I mean, I'm not a mom, but I can't imagine sitting there and going, yep, somebody else cleaned that up for me. Couldn't be me. For more stories, head to thebertshow.com. Click eBuzz.
You're on The Bert Show.
Well, this is neat. Anybody know where Bert is?
No clue.
Oh,
I got really nervous. There he is.
Hi. The show? Yeah, we're on the air. Mm-hmm. Sure enough. Welcome back.
What are we doing?
You know, stuff. We're just
doing a side of contract. I'm pretty much owning it in at this point.
Man. I thought you'd do like Kristen. You thought the show was over and you just left.
I got talking to Vicky, that's all.
Oh, okay.
What are we doing?
We got to talk about her fiance's dad having access to her fiance's account and judging how they're spending their money.
Abby's got the email.
Bert Show, my fiance and I have been together for almost 8 years and we've been engaged for 5. We're clearly in no rush to get married and truly want the wedding of our dreams. So we've been saving up. Not to mention that we are a lesbian couple and are in a rush to have to deal with our super religious and non-accepting family members and all that a gay wedding brings with it. We got enough backlash with the engagement for us to want to lay low for a little bit.
I hate that for them.
I know. We're both 30. We both work full time and I'm in grad school. We pay our bills, but we are definitely in the paycheck to paycheck boat, as many people are. So here's the drama. For the sake of the story, we will call my fiance Lucy. A few years ago, Lucy's dad offered for us to rent one of his rental homes. Rent is high in our area, and he was offering for us to pay a significantly lower rent payment. At the time, we were super grateful and felt really blessed. About a year after we moved into his rental home, a family member of my fiance let it slip that Lucy's dad was going around to the family and talking crap about us. He told them that when we first moved in, he had checked our mailbox. I started forwarding mail about a week early. He admitted to opening my mail, which was a credit card offer. He saw that my interest rate offer was pretty low and went around telling family members that there was no reason we should be renting from him and that my credit is clearly good enough to buy a home and that I'm using Lucy. I was furious.
That's, like, despicable.
Yeah.
Then we heard he was telling others that we weren't being financially responsible and saving enough money and that we went out to eat too much. I was shocked. My fiance ended up coming clean and said that when she and her sister were about 15, their dad opened up a bank opened up bank accounts for them to put money into for allowances and spending money because they were minors. He was a user on the accounts and could see every transaction. My fiance is 30 and has never taken her dad off her account.
That's on her.
She swears that she had forgotten that he had access. We decided that it would be extremely difficult to remove him while living there and didn't want it coming out that we knew he was talking about us. We didn't want to make waves, especially while being in his property. We recently moved out of the rental property, thank God, and I have brought it up to her multiple times to remove him, and it's almost like she's scared to. She keeps saying she will, but is making no effort to do it. Any advice on what I should do? I don't want to be married with my father-in-law seeing every transaction we make. Please help.
Okay, while money can't give you happiness, what it does do is it gives you freedom. And you're attached to this guy right now. I mean, he's got his roots there, and he feels like he controls the situation or can control it. I mean, even going through your... That's a felony, actually.
It is.
Opening up somebody else's piece of mail is a felony. So that's what I would do. I would call the police today and have them tased.
Have dad arrested?
Just tased.
Oh, okay.
I don't want him to go to jail. But you look, I think at some point, this all does suck, but you have got yourself in a toxic relationship with Pops here, and he's not going to change. So this is very, very easy. You have to get out of this situation. That's not the easy part,
yeah.
But that's the answer, is you got to get out of this situation because he feels like he's controlling it because you guys are renting from him.
But she doesn't want to. So we're talking about, this is your fiance and your fiance's dad, and he's all up in her business and all up in her account. You have asked her to do this, to remove him. She keeps saying she will, but she's making no effort to do so. At a certain, you can't force somebody to do something that they don't want to do. Either she wants to do it or she doesn't.
Well, yes, but then you just can't bitch about it. So if you're going to decide to stay in this situation and not do anything about it, then you can't complain about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you can't force her. I mean, it's obvious why she should do it, and I'm sure that she knows that she should, but for whatever reason she's not. I would just continue to try to motivate her to do it and hope that she does. But in the meantime, I don't really know what else you can do because, like I said, you can't force her to do it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying there's an ultimatum here or anything like that with your fiance. I'm just saying he is not going to change.
What if she started a bank account for the two of them, like a joint account?
And then just transfer all the money over there. But don't you think he would notice and be like, hey,
yeah,
where'd all the money go?
I'm sure he would. But I would just be like, we're partners now. So we've started our own account.
At least that starts the conversation.
Yeah.
But he's not going to change. And he's got control with the money levers right now. So the only thing you can do is control you and your fiance. You guys got to work this out, but you got to separate from Pops.
100%.
You can't let him keep opening your mail either. That got to be the last time that happens.
Listen. It's the Bert Show.
So Mo put all of you guys on an emotional roller coaster in his podcast. What was it? A week ago?
No, this was about a month ago, actually, when it happened initially.
It got revisited last week.
That's what I heard.
When Kristen joined in the moment last week, it was Katie's evil plan to bring this up. I had no intentions of bringing this up and putting you on this roller coaster. But yeah, it was something that I thought would be like a joke. And then that would be it. And it turned into an entire thing. And it's actually still going on as we speak. So, yes, about a month ago, I went on my podcast on In a Moment. And I really was trying to mess with Katie for more than anything else. Because I got a text message, which was really random and out of nowhere. And it was from a number that I wasn't familiar with. And the text message basically said, hey, Dad, you left to get the milk. And that was 4 months ago, and you never came back. Now, I had no idea where this text message came from, if somebody was pranking me, if it was an accident. I still, to this moment, don't know. But in my mind, I was like, oh, I might be a dad. So I saw it as a perfect opportunity to go on my podcast and just kind of draw it out with Katie and make her actually believe that I was about to be a father. So Katie then decided to post that video of me doing this to her on Instagram, in which, again, I thought it was going to be like really obvious that I was being facetious and people would see right through it. But instead, it just was comment after comment after comment after comment of congratulations. Like, I'm so happy that this is happening for you. And at that point, I was like, all right, I'm just not going to fight this anymore. And so people ran with it. And, like, literally, until this moment, I'm still getting comments on this post about congratulations on being a new father. And so when Kristen came on the podcast, which we released last week, that was when Katie wanted me to tell Kristen about how this journey had happened.
This text message, this mysterious text message that Mo had received that he may or may not have a child.
So instead of us just kind of bringing it up like, you know, it was a joke, I decided to just play into it in the moment. And I told Kristen that I was quite possibly a deadbeat father. Because I have a child somewhere that apparently I have not been taken care of.
So as Mo is telling Kristen this story, I didn't hear the first episode where you and Katie were chopping it up about this. My first exposure to it was when he was telling Kristen, and he told it so well, I'm starting to get heated in the moment that, A, we didn't talk about this off the air.
Uh-huh.
B, that you decide to break that really great content on your podcast and not the Burt Show until Kristen realized, like, okay, wait a second, this isn't the real deal. Because you were buying into it, too.
Absolutely.
You didn't know where he was going with it.
I had no idea where he was going with it. I can feel my heart started to beat fast. Tears started to well up in my eyes. Like, it was like a whole thing. And you told the story, and then Katie's like, yes, and I'm looking up the number, and it's somebody in New York, and we found pictures, and, you know, he knows one of the guys in the pictures, so there's... Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, my God, Bo's the dad! And then come to find out, they were just messing with you.
Yeah, that was kind of the scariest part, is when Katie actually did the research, it was really close to home. Like, she found the family, I guess, that this number belongs to, and we started looking these people up. Not only do they live in New York, they live in an area that I once lived when I lived in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked up the name, and then we found one of the people on Facebook, and then I had, like, familiar friends with this person. So that's when I started
Really?
Yeah.
You guys ran in the same circle.
Yes. So I still, to this moment, though, I don't know, because the person never texted me back, so I don't know if it was an accident. I don't know if somebody was pranking me, but I just saw it as a moment to create, like, funny content, and it turned out to go a little too far. Once I saw the tears, like, swelling in your eyes, KK, I was like, okay, we might have went a little too far. This joke, it might be time to turn it back around. So I still to this moment don't know who this is or who thinks that their father was going to get milk and never came back. But as far as I know, we can put this to rest. I am not a new father.
There have got to be stories, you don't got time to try to take them right now, of like a text like this coming in and then you responding back to it and then destiny sort of taking it over where you realize that you do, like, you either start to form a friendship or this is a friend from the past, because there's too many commonalities here.
That's exactly why I didn't respond to it. I didn't want any of it to be accurate at all. So I was willing to just let it go.
Wait, so you're saying there's a chance?
It might be.
Nah.
Anytime I get one of these now, these random ones, I just delete it immediately because I just figure it's some kind of scam.
Oh, easily. Yeah,
that's what same. I think it was, too.
Yeah. All right, if you haven't heard this kind of drama on Mo's podcast, you can listen to it every week. Tell them where to find it and the name.
It is called In the Moment, and it is available wherever you get your podcast.
It is The Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at theburtshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.